thank you all for coming today, because all of you are earnestly doing your best, because your heart is in the right place. The skies have cleared and we're blessed with a bright sunny day. The bright sunny days of the month of May. But what if it were raining today? What could I say to you? Because you are all earnestly doing your best, because your heart is in the right place, we are blessed with a rainy day. Wind, your heart is in the right place, and we're blessed with this refreshing wind. What about an earthquake? Everyone has been working hard, doing your best. Your heart is in the right place, so the earth is quaking. It's saying, don't be careless. The recent earthquake in Kobe was a horrible disaster. Many people are still living in shelters. And even amongst the folks living in this very same shelters, there are those who are gloomy and depressed, and others who just take it for granted, oh well, and still others who are somehow happy. It's not a burden and not a hassle at all for them. They rather feel thankful for the opportunity to practice. This is always the case. Each and every one of you has your own unique way, your own particular way of taking things, of receiving, of responding to a situation. When one can always respond genuinely, we call that Buddha. Some people have the idea that when one dies, they become a Buddha. It's not the way it is. Just because you have died, you're not a perfectly enlightened being. But we've just taken the precepts. We have just chanted the three refuges. Namu Kiye Butsu. I take refuge in Buddha. I take refuge in Dharma. I take refuge in Sangha. It says in the Shushogi, when you receive the Buddha's precepts, you enter into the realm of the various Buddhas, truly becoming their children and realizing the same great enlightenment. Buddha's child. A child of Buddha will grow to Buddhahood, to perfect enlightenment. You will walk the Buddha path, making your utmost sincere endeavor. A cat or a dog can work with sincere endeavor, but they cannot do so in self-awareness. As a human being, you finally have the chance to realize self. I have an important question that I want you to ask yourself. What is it that you are truly relying on? What is your refuge? You all seem to be smiling. I suppose that I'm waiting for someone who can say, I rely upon nothing. There is nothing to rely upon. To such a person, I might be able to say, you are near the great Dharma. What are you relying on, really? Your pocketbook? This body? How can you rely on this body, which is prey to old age, sudden death by accident at age 20 or to natural disasters, terminal illnesses? Can you depend on your husband, who may walk out the front door any one morning and not live to return that evening? I just received the news that someone very close to us, a leader of Zazen in America, has suddenly died of a heart attack. He was 7 years younger than I. Can you rely upon this body? What is it that you can depend upon? Where can you take refuge? Where is there unconditional peace of mind? This is not mere resignation. Some people are resigned in this way. They feel that, well, everybody's got to die. It's part of being human, of being alive. So it just can't be helped. That taking death for granted in that way won't solve your problems. It won't bring you happiness. It won't make you shine. If you have that attitude, you won't be able to awaken. To take refuge, the three refuges. Namu means to throw your all into Buddha, Dharma, Sangha. Being, becoming Buddha. And Kie is the same spirit. It means to return home. When Shakyamuni attained enlightenment, he exclaimed, "Wonder of wonders, all beings are Buddha, endowed with Buddha wisdom, Buddha virtue." Buddha, Nyorai, means essentially perfect and existing everywhere. Wisdom and virtue. So if you immediately take this to mean, well, that makes me a Buddha already, you are so right. If Shakyamuni's enlightenment had vouched for his own Buddhahood only, that would not have made it such an occasion. And if you view Shakyamuni's enlightenment in this way, as the awakening of one being, then you are regarding Buddha as something far, far away. All beings. Interdependent with all beings, in complete connection with all things, one is born. All beings, not just human beings, all beings. There's a bird called a Japanese crested ibis. It has a beautiful pale pink colored beak and huge white wings. Sometime back there were many, many ibises flying about. And now they're becoming extinct. As the small fish and crabs and insects that they lived on gradually became poisoned and died away, leaving the birds to die away as well. The last male of the ibises has now died off. But there is one female left. The female of a species is more tenacious, isn't she? Generally, the female perseveres longer than the male. In a sense, the female is more important than the male. With that greater importance comes greater responsibility. The female is most responsible for continuing the lineage, there's no mother, the child cannot be born. The female is a storehouse for the teaching of truth. She gives birth to Shakyamuni Buddha, to Bodhidharma. Without his mother Maya, Shakyamuni would not have been born beside the lake at Lumbini. I went to visit that lake in India. I toured India by rickety ramshackle bus. The windows wouldn't close and smoke and dust poured in from the other vehicles on the road. Not all are blessed with abundance like Japan. Here in Japan, over blessed with abundance, we are forgetting gratitude. Anyway, the lake of Lumbini brought tears to my eyes. This is where Shakyamuni Buddha was born. He attained Satori at Bodh Gaya. As we approached Bodh Gaya in the bus, I couldn't sit still. Tears were flowing from my eyes, and I was craning this way and that to get my first glimpse of the place. There was a 60-meter stupa there and a statue of Shakyamuni overlaid in gold leaf, Tibetan style. The Tibetans take very good care of the place. They come and attach gold leaves to the statue. If that were Japan, people would more likely rub it with their hands to try to receive the gold. It's never enough. We're in a very dangerous state here. It appears that Japan is most stable and peaceful, when perhaps the opposite is true. We're taking it too easy. We have to be ashamed of our easygoing comfort. It's why I determined to come here today and say the most important thing that can be said. I determined not to talk on and on about this and that, leading you into distraction. If you cannot go home today knowing in your heart of hearts that everything is all right, it's my fault. So to get to the point, today's calligraphy is everyday mind, ordinary mind. The first character on the top means level or even. The second means always, every time. The second one is easier to see and get the sense of, the entire word. There are many foreigners here who do not understand much Japanese. I look at your faces and it appears that you're understanding me perfectly. But when I ask, did you understand? You shake your head, nope, not a word. Even though you do not understand Japanese, I would like for you to hear what I'm saying and receive it as the most important thing that can be said. Even if I say, wow, this is the most important thing. Some of you already hear and interpret me in this way, and you're not mistaken. When you can really take in the meaning of ordinary mind, you'll understand completely what I'm saying. This is most important. Others of you appear angry. What is he talking about? Some people are easily irritated, angered. Are you easily angered? It's not necessarily bad. If you can direct your anger toward truth, pushing you to know truth. It's all right. What is this first character, which means even, level? Why is this character used? If you're feeling frustrated, you're going to have complaints and the road's going to be bumpy. Not even, not level. But even, composed, level, means without frustration and dissatisfaction. This is the spirit of the word. Anywhere and everywhere, this is the spirit. There are many, many people who think that they're getting a raw deal, that things aren't going as they should for them, they're not getting what they deserve, and they rail against their situation. This is not level, even. But next to the calligraphy for everyday mind, for ordinary mind, there's a further explanation. It says, original life. Original, the source of life. Life before your birth. Your true roots. Each one of you here is grasping at a sense of a me, a room full of separate me's is the way it appears to you. Each and every one of you is different, unique. But if you make a thorough investigation into your roots, each and every one of you, what you arrive at is this ordinary mind. And this is not the everyday ordinary mind that you have conjured up, your usual common sense view of ordinary mind. It's not the everyday world that we take for granted. It's not what we take for granted as everyday ordinary. There are two ways of reading the characters in Japanese, and that helps to maintain this distinction. Someone came at 1:30 to check on me. Do I have clean socks, clean juban, which kimono and kesa will I wear? Not that I have so many. Then he said, well, I see that you have everything you need. You're all ready. So we'll start on time. I'm not worried about the talk then. I told him, well, you better worry a little because I'm not exactly sure what I'm going to say. And he answered, no, I'm not worried. You always say the same thing. He's right there. I'm always saying just the same thing, no matter who comes to me. You yourself. We're not talking to somebody else. You are the treasure of all treasures. You are the jewel. Nothing can be compared to your true self, and you cannot conceive of it. You cannot conceive of your true self, this treasure. It's beyond intellectual comprehension, beyond your normal discriminating dualistic consciousness. Ordinary mind is your true self, your true life. Human beings want to be happy. The joy which you inherently are is beyond imagination. Helen Keller was blind and deaf at birth. She once said in her old age that there isn't a happier person than she herself. I believe she had, to some extent, seen into her truth self. Of course, there's much, much polishing still to be done. Happy. The happiness of truth is beyond conditions. Happiness which is dependent on conditions is not genuine. Happy when the weather is fine, down when it's cloudy. That's the same as saying, it sort of appears that I'm happy. That's dangerous. True happiness is just exactly your own reality. I'd like to send you all home with little badges that say, I'm the happiest person in Japan. I'm sure you would, in embarrassment, pull off the badges as soon as you left through the gate. But if you could only wear this badge quietly in the bottom of your heart. You may doubt that it's possible for there to be two or three or more who are the happiest. And you're right. In the end, there is only one. You perceive that there are many, many of you here in this room. Truly, you are one. And this only one is completely different from the only one that you usually perceive to be only one, because that's a lonely one. This one is absolute. It is one which absolutely receives everything as one's own life. Oneness. Shakyamuni Buddha said, all beings of the three worlds are my children. My lovely children, not only human beings, but all being is right here in your belly. When you realize that you're the happiest person in all of Japan, you will naturally realize that there is nothing you need. There's nothing lacking. You are already blessed with everything. And your desires naturally fall away. Shakyamuni Buddha, Dogen Zenji, all the ancient teachers said it clearly. Few people will be able to hear the true teaching. And among those who do listen, very few can truly receive the teaching. Very, very, very few will believe this ordinary mind. Everything, morning to night, always and forever, is your own true life. The life of each and every one. It's all yours, it's all you. Nothing is held back. It's very clear. The phrase ordinary mind comes from a case in the Mumonkan. Joshu went to his teacher, Nansen, and asked, what is the way? Just what is this true self? What can I really, truly rely on in this world? Joshu was driven to ask this question. He asked with his life on the line, what is the way? The functioning of life. What is life? What is truth? Nansen answered, ordinary mind is the way. Ordinary mind is that which you can rely on. Ordinary mind is your refuge. Joshua was wise. He must have already had many Satori experiences, but he was determined to break through to the source of everything. His Zen desire was deep. Ordinary mind is the way. Joshu asked, then should we direct ourselves toward it or not? Should we try to figure it out? How are we to address the problem? With our thoughts and judgments. This is good and right. We must do this. That is bad and thus not the way. Are we to move with our heads first, then acting? Are we to understand so that we can move toward it? In what way should we work to understand that ordinary mind is the way? Nansen answers, if you try to direct yourself toward it, you go away from it. When the dualistic discriminating processing, this versus that, occurs, you lose touch with true mind. Why? How can this be? Because ordinary mind is the way. Always and forever, morning to night, everything. We talked about Helen Keller, who had no eyes, no physical eyes, through which to see. You all have eyes. You can see, can't you? Look. Whatever you see, this is it. Yes. Look to the right or to the left. You see the sky. Yes. Wherever you look, whatever you see, ordinary mind. But, what you're doing is this. When you're seeing what pleases you, you feel grateful to your eyes. Some things please you. Others do not please you, damn it. You're always picking and choosing this over that. That's directing yourself toward it. You get caught up, tied down. In a flash, a happy person becomes an unhappy person. With this ordinary mind, there is no need to choose. The willow is green, the flowers red, mountains rise high, the ocean is deep. Everything in this world appears different, is unique. But all forms are unfolding before our eyes. We are blessed to view each and every unique form. In each form, we can see life. When we can really see, only then we know what it is to be alive. The source of life is before, is more basic than picking and choosing. Well, what is more important to you, to be able to distinguish this and that, or to be one, pure and simple, with each thing you encounter? Oops. Someone said, I've got to watch it that my teeth don't go flying out again. It happened at a funeral, and that my teeth flew out when I said, and since then I've had to tone down my exclamations. So when I used to say ka, now I say e. Ka is fine. E is fine. Whatever. Good, good. Whatever you can see throughout your daily life, you're taking it for granted.